Chapter 2. The Jadwin estate had survived the fires that had reduced so much of the city to rubble. Kylar came to the heavily guarded front gate, and the guards opened the sally port for him wordlessly. Kylar had only stopped to strip out of his tanner's disguise and scrub his body with alcohol to rid himself of the scent, and he was certain that he'd arrived before the Duchess, but word of the Duke's death had flown faster. The guards had black strips of cloth tied around their arms.
"Is it true?" one of them asked.
Kylar nodded and made his way to the hut behind the manse where the Cromwells lived. Eline had been the last orphan the Cromwells took in, and all their siblings had moved on to other trades or to serve other houses. Only her foster mother still served the Jadwins. Since the coup, Kylar, Eline, and Uli had stayed here. With Kylar's safe houses burned or inaccessible, it was the only choice. Kylar was thought to be dead, so he didn't want to stay in any of the Sakage safe houses where he might be recognized. In any case, every safe house was full to breaking. No one wanted to be out on the streets with the roving bands of Caladorans. No one was in the hut, so Kylar went to the manse's kitchen. 11-year-old Uli was standing on a stool, leaning over a tub of soapy water, scrubbing pans. Kylar swept in and picked her up under one arm, spun her around as she squealed, and set her back down on the stool. He gave her a fierce look.
"You been keeping Eline out of trouble like I told you?" he asked the little girl.
Uli sighed. "I've been trying, but I think this one's hopeless." Kylar laughed, and she laughed too. Uli had been raised by servants in Sanaria Castle, believing for her own protection that she was an orphan. The truth was that she was the daughter of Mama Kay and Durzo Blint. Durzo had only found out about her in the last days of his life, and Kylar had promised him that he would look after the girl. After the initial awkwardness of explaining that he wasn't her father, things had gone better than Kylar could have expected.
"Hopeless? I'll show you hopeless," a voice said.
Eline carried a huge cauldron with the grime of yesterday's stew baked onto the sides and set it down next to Uli's stack of dishes. Uli groaned, and Eline chuckled evilly. Kylar marveled at how she'd changed in a mere week, or perhaps the change was in how he saw her. Eline still had the thick scars Rat had given her as a child, an X across her full lips, one on her cheek, and a crescent looping from her eyebrow to the corner of her mouth. But Kylar barely noticed them. Now he saw radiant skin, eyes bright with intelligence and happiness, her grin lopsided, not because of a scar, but from planned mischief. And how a woman could look so good in modest servant's woolens and an apron was one of the great mysteries of the universe. Eline grabbed an apron from a hook and looked at Kylar with a predatory gleam in her eye.
"Oh no, not me," Kylar said.
She looped the apron over his head and pulled him close, slowly and seductively. She was staring at his lips, and he couldn't help but stare at hers as she wet them with her tongue.
"I think," she said,
her voice low, her hands gliding across his sides,
"that..."
Uli coughed loudly, but neither of them acknowledged her. Eline pulled him against her, her hands on the small of his back, her mouth tilting up, her sweet scent filling his nostrils.
"That's much better."
She yanked the apron knot tight behind his back and released him abruptly, stepping back out of range.
"Now you can help me. Do you want to cut the potatoes or the onions?"
She and Uli laughed at the outrage on his face. Kylar leaped forward, and Aline tried to dodge, but he used his talent to grab her. He'd been practicing in the last week, and though so far he could only extend his reach a pace or so behind his own arms, this time it was enough. He pulled Aline in and kissed her. She barely pretended to put up a fight before kissing him back with equal fervor. For a moment, the world contracted to the softness of Aline's lips and the feel of her body tight against his. Somewhere, Uli started retching loudly. Kylar reached out and swatted the dishwater toward the source of his irritation. The retching was abruptly replaced with a yelp. Aline disentangled herself and covered her mouth, trying not to laugh. Kylar had managed to drench Uli's face completely. She raised her hand and swatted water back at him, and he let it hit him. He rubbed her wet hair in the way he knew she didn't like and said, "All right, squirt. I deserved that. Truce now. Where are those potatoes?" They settled smoothly into the easy routine of kitchen work. Aline asked him what he'd seen and learned, and though he checked constantly for eavesdroppers, he told her everything about studying the Baron and helplessly watching the assassination attempt. Such sharing was, perhaps, the most boring thing a couple could do, but Kylar had been denied the boring luxuries of everyday love for his whole life. To share, simply to speak the truth to a person who cared, was unfathomably precious. A wet boy, Durzo had taught Kylar, must be able to walk away from everything at a moment's notice. A wet boy is always alone. So this moment, this simple communion, was why Kylar was finished with the Way of Shadows. He'd spent more than half his life training tirelessly to become the perfect killer. He didn't want to kill anymore. They needed a third man for the job, Kylar said. To be a lookout and backup knife man. We could have done it. Their timing was so good. 1 second different, and they would have pulled it off with only the two of them. If I'd been there, Hugh Gibbet and the God King both would be dead. We'd have 50,000 Gunders. He paused at a black thought. Gunders. Guess they won't be calling them that anymore, now that all the Gunders are dead. He sighed. You want to know if you did the right thing, Aline said. Yes. Kylar, there are always going to be people so bad that we think they deserve to die. In the castle when Roth was hurting you, I was this close to trying to kill him myself. If it had only been a little longer, I don't know. What I do know is what you've told me about what killing has done to your soul. No matter what good it seems to do for the world, it destroys you. I can't watch that, Kylar. I won't. I care about you too much. It was the one precondition Aline had for leaving the city with Kylar, that he give up killing and violence. He was still so confused. He didn't know if Aline's way was right, but he'd seen enough to know that Durzo's and Mama Kay's wasn't. You really believe that violence begets violence? That fewer innocent people will die in the end if I give up killing? I really do, Aline said. All right, Kylar said. Then there's a job I need to do tonight. We should be able to leave in the morning.